What's going on, guys? It is Thursday, October 4th, and we're in a week 5 here on the Fantasy Process Report. Matt, Mick, and Kevin, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, and welcome to the show, all in Philadelphia.
Here.
Oh, it is great to be here. Glad to be a guest on this podcast.
And so, what's your relation here, Kevin? How do we know you?
So, I am the brother of podcast member who is currently about how high in the air if he's on a commercial flight?
Nah. Pretty high.
Like, about 37,000.
He's at about 37,000 feet right now. Can't really participate.
Now,
so.
Where's he flying from? I can tell you exactly.
He's flying from Miami, I want to say.
All right, we'll track his flight while
we don't
need
this.
Let's get his flight number.
Absolutely.
This isn't a Stalk Jason podcast.
No, that's what we're doing.
Turn it into it real quick.
It's also not a pilot's flying podcast either.
Also, interestingly enough, the Patriots are playing while we are podcasting, so we'll give quote live updates, even though you're going to hear it probably hours after the game has ended.
It's the first time we've actually done a podcast during a game, I think.
It is. Interestingly enough, Bill Belichick is not wearing the hobo-like cutoff sweatshirt. He's actually wearing a polo.
I still need to see this.
It's up. We've got picture in picture.
Yeah, we had Hungy's streaming the game right now on his iPad, and he somehow figured out a way to bring up the picture in picture mode, which is something that I haven't seen since honestly like pre-2000. But it's one of the best features ever that I miss. I think that was one of the greatest things, and I'm gonna enjoy watching a little tiny screen of the Patriots game going on throughout this entire podcast here.
Kevin, do you know whether Jason is flying directly from Miami to Philadelphia?
I have no idea.
Yeah, we would have liked to have Jason tonight, but he is on his way home. Mike is getting married, his sister's getting married.
Yes, she is.
So he's on his way home for a wedding, cannot be with us tonight, but we do have his brother filling in for him. So.
Do you know what time he's supposed to land?
No.
You're actually tracking him right now?
I believe I have his flight here. He's actually, we said 37,000 feet. He's actually level at 31,000 feet. He's
Damn.
About 42 minutes out. If you look right now, he's currently over North Carolina.
No one wants to hear about this.
We can have a caller into the show. Has that happened before?
That has not. I don't know how that would work. But
you put him on speaker.
Amex talked about wanting to be a live caller into the show.
Let's call him in a little bit.
We've got about 5 minutes of intro at this point. Let's get into it.
First topic.
Let's get on to the game that's going on right now and talk about some of the players.
Well,
that
Tom Brady owners are going to be happy so far.
If they started them, I know at least two people that have Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, and so those guys are obviously starting Patrick Mahomes with the way he's been playing.
Well, Brady's already thrown for one, and believe it or not, has a 1 yard rushing touchdown.
Yeah, he punched it in. He with the most ladylike reach over the end zone that I've ever seen.
He literally jumped straight up in the air and reached the ball out as far as he could. All he needed to do was put it about an inch past the center.
Yeah, but he got it. So 6 points.
Adam Vinatieri owners aren't quite as happy. Took a 37-yarder off the uprights earlier in the game.
Hate to see it.
Especially from a veteran
like him. Usually a trusted kicker.
A return to Julian Edelman tonight. The only thing we've seen out of him was a ridiculous drop. Hit him square in the hands and went right to the turf. Sean Hockley is officiating the game, son of Ed Hockley.
So if you have him in your flex position, you'll get lots of points tonight.
It looks like Vinatieri must have made a 50-plus yarder, though.
Because as if the Patriots didn't need more help than all of the Indianapolis injuries tonight, they probably got the referee advantage, too. But that's nothing new.
Let's break down the fantasy options for the Patriots.
Yes, obviously, like you just said earlier, Julian Edelman is coming back tonight, and he's made a little bit of impact. I think he had 3 catches.
Does that take away from Gronk?
No, if anything, I think everybody's been saying it helps him.
You think so?
It's been taking it'll take the double coverage off him.
I mean, right now, he's got 3 catches for 26 yards.
No. Edelman or Gronk?
Gronk does.
They both have 3 catches. They both have 3 catches for 26 yards and 28 yards, so they have about equal performances.
Mm-hmm.
So it's looking more like the Patriots that we're accustomed to, where they just spread the ball out and everybody gets the looks. But not Chris Hogan.
When you say everybody gets the looks, that's good and it's bad. It's bad if you are a Patriots running back owner. I've been very vocal in this show that I'm very anti-owning.
I've been very
Patriots
vocal about being against you on this topic and the fact that you're wrong. And
I
still think
one.
You're wrong.
The fact that you're wrong. Edelman just caught another one. But
did he?
There was a flag on the
5-yard
play,
on
stand.
New England, yeah. But yeah, no, I think I'm still behind James White. He's already in this game, got 4 receptions. Obviously, he doesn't have shit on the ground. He's got 2 rushes for 0 yards, but he has 4 receptions for 38 yards. He's leading the team in receptions and yards so far. So, I mean, obviously, it's still early, middle of the game.
4 receptions for 38 yards in a half-point league, a half-point PPR league that we're in, that's what, 5 points?
That's a half-point league. Most leagues are, I think a lot of leagues at this point are full-point PPR.
Okay, so that's 8 points?
But that's very valuable. Like, 8 points in the first half. He's on pace for 16 points so far.
He's a running back. He should be on pace for more.
Nah, dude. I mean, I think if you get over 15, especially from somebody consistently, which is what you're getting from a guy like James White, and that doesn't mention the fact that Rex Burkhead is out and will be out for multiple weeks. So
isn't he IR?
Yeah, he's IR. So he's going to be out for a little while. So it's just him and Sonny Michel there now.
They really bring different things to the table.
Yeah.
You can have both.
Yeah, they're both. Honestly, since Rex Burkhead has been out, I think they're both fantasy startable right now. Michel and James White. Always shaking your head about New England running backs.
I'm shaking my head about New England running backs.
You just don't like New England.
Well, obviously I don't. I made that very clear on this show as well. But Bill Belichick will just change up everything about the offense overnight. He will switch running backs in a heartbeat. He'll give it to somebody you've never heard 15 times the next game.
Sonny Gray.
Yeah. Remember the one game Dion Lewis just absolutely exploded in the next week?
Jonas Gray.
Like the next 4 weeks he never got another touch. Like, it was something ridiculous like that. Like, Bill Belichick will switch it up overnight. I don't think as a fantasy owner I would be okay trusting that.
That's true. Similar situation. What about Chicago with Jordan Howard and now the rise of Tariq Cohen? They bring different things to the table.
Jordan Howard has fallen completely off.
I think Tariq Cohen's a great pick.
I like Tariq Cohen. I'm just Jordan Howard has fallen off a cliff as far as fantasy production goes.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past probably 2 years, you've just watched the decline. 3 years ago, Jordan Howard was what, a top 3 running back in fantasy?
I think he was one of those guys where he has that meteoric rise in his rookie year and then can't really back it up later.
He's a classic case of a running back. Typically, it's the running backs. They have one good year and then they fall off. You know, it doesn't happen all the time, but you do have a few of them. Yeah. Running backs, they just have one good year, and then they're mediocre at best after that.
Zach Stacy. Zach Stacy in the second round.
I will forever hold a grudge against Peyton Hillis. You know why?
Stole the Madden cover.
He stole the Madden cover
stole
from
Madden
Mike
cover.
Vick. The Madden 12 cover should have been Mike Vick, and it was Peyton Hillis.
Wasn't Mike Vick already on the cover?
Yeah, he was going to be the first.
2004.
He was going to be the first player in history to be on the cover of 2 Maddens.
Spread the love.
Ridiculous.
I mean, he was a fantastic player that year.
He was. He still is. Mike Vick could still come back and play.
Was that the year when the Eagles still had Donovan McNabb, too? Or was that a year or two later?
It was beyond that.
Okay, yeah. He was on the Redskins at that
2010
point.
2010 was the year that Vick took over for Cobb.
Right.
And then... Yeah.
Foles took over for Vick.
And the rest is history.
Where's the picture-in-picture?
Where'd it go?
Matt.
We lost the
picture.
You're
supposed to be on top of this.
Well, I was paying attention to you guys.
Oh, Patriots are in the red zone.
So, anyway.
I wouldn't know because picture in picture went away.
I would know because I'm looking at this.
The rest of the Patriots. So we obviously know how Matt and I both feel about the running backs. I'm a big believer. Matt is not. Wide receivers. With Julian Edelman being back and Josh Gordon obviously being there. This is his second week. Obviously having... good usage. Now he's obviously a little bit more accustomed to the playbook. He knows what's going on there a little bit more. I heard that his locker is next to Tom Brady. So,
ooh.
I guess that's big news. I think that means that they're trying to keep him on a short leash. So, Brady's the guy to keep him.
This is Gordon, you said?
Yeah, Josh Gordon.
Has the locker next to Brady.
Yeah. That's what I was just saying.
Is marijuana part of the TB12 method?
Nah. was that? Alex, what's Tom Brady's trainer's name? Alex Martinez?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, Guerrero. Yeah.
He
wouldn't have any of that. That's not part of the regimen. No.
Yeah. But Chris Hogan's always an option, too.
Oh, God. I think he's been gone. He's not
an option right now.
He disappeared before before Josh Gordon got there. He wasn't doing anything.
I think he's the kind of guy who could still get you one of those games where he gets
one of those games. You're going to trust a guy who might get one of those games in a deeper league
or if he got injuries or...
Yeah. I have him in a league where it's three wide receivers and one flex player, so it's just like I drafted him as my number two wide receiver.
Maybe got a 10-team or a 12-team.
Yeah, it's 12-team league. Yeah, it's a 12-team league with three wide receivers.
PPR league. Hogan is averaging 6.5 points a week.
Oh no, it's pitiful.
That's not worse than.
It's pitiful. And this is before
the week one.
This is before everybody came back.
Let me just read this off to you guys. Week one, one catch, 11 yards. Week two. 3 catches, 42 yards, 2 touchdowns. Wow, what an improvement. You would think week 3 would be similar. Wrong. 3 catches, 31 yards. 4, 1 catch, 25 yards. Week 5, 1 catch, 21 yards. Nothing. Nothing.
Well, I'm sure
he had
tons
his one game. He had his
owned.
One game. It was Jacksonville week 2. He's done. He hasn't done anything
since.
That was
a 3 catch game.
It was a 3 catch game. He got lucky 2 of them broke.
Yeah. I think He threw us all off because he did well in the last postseason, and then he did well in the preseason. So, yeah, he tricked us all. He duped us. But I think Josh Gordon, I feel like you want to get rid of Hogan at this point. If you can trade him for anything. Anything startable.
I don't think you can trade him. I think if you've got a half-decent fantasy manager, then no one's going to give you anything for him.
Yeah. So, sorry if you drafted Chris Hogan. I feel your pain. But let's move on from the Patriots. We spent enough time on them.
Fair enough. What's next?
Big news this week is Le'Veon Bell has announced that he is scheduled to come back after the bye week of the Steelers, which is week 7.
Unless the Steelers trade him first.
So, that being said, he will be back week 8. So, that is 3 more weeks of fantasy that you will go without him.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a lot to think about with this situation. A, are they going to trade him? Is he going to work out a long-term deal with somebody else? And B, what do you do with him in the meantime? Like, step one,
if you think that you're going to go deep in the playoffs, you get him right now. You do what you can, you get him.
You buy low.
Kind of.
Do you want to buy
it's still low?
Do you like trust that? This
but
is all going to come to
the
fruition.
The issue is,
let's agree, it would be buying
you
low.
You can't get rid of whatever running backs that you have in any sort of trade to get him. Reason being, he only has to play 6 weeks for his season to count. So if he comes back week 7, you might not have him for weeks 14 to 16 or 14 to 17, which is fantasy playoff time.
He's not going
to
hold out at that point in the season, though.
He sure can.
He can, but he's not going to. Once he's back, he's back.
No, once he's back, he's playing.
He's going to be back.
No,
he's not going to sit at that
point. You're not. So, once he's back, he's still playing on the franchise tag,
yeah.
Which he doesn't want to.
I know.
He wants to play for more, and he's not going to play if he's not getting paid more. He's going to play the minimum required. They already made a point of saying he's most likely going to skip the playoffs if the Steelers make it. He's not going to play on the franchise tag.
What's he looking
that.
For, like a 5-year deal? And he's 26, right?
I think he wanted like something like
60
five,
million guaranteed
like,
or something
four
like that.
Or five with, no, it was like 80 guaranteed.
Yeah, he wanted a lot. He wanted a minimum.
Well, that was the
Steelers,
issue was the guaranteed
the
money.
The Steelers offered him, what, 4 years, $70 million with 30 guaranteed, and he turned it down.
Yeah.
He won the Kirk Cousins money.
He did. And he's not going to get
guaranteed money.
No one's going to give it to him.
But if you have him, do you try and trade him now? I mean, obviously, I think he lost some value. Now that we know he's actually coming back, he had, he didn't lose value, he gained value, so that makes it harder for you to try and get him, because obviously we know he's coming back, so.
Yeah, you are just running a huge risk of him not playing in your playoffs.
But do we know he's coming back?
He's also saying, like, oh, like, maybe, like, he hasn't, there's no guarantee that he's actually coming back.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
I feel like
in the back of my mind, I'm kind of worried about
if
that.
You think for a second,
week 8, or is he?
If you think for a second, as a fantasy owner, if you think for a second that he's coming back, you sell James Conner as high as you can right now.
Yeah.
Week 7 can't come fast enough. You sell James Conner as high as you possibly can right now.
But I feel like who's going to want James Conner? The only person that really would want James Conner right now is a Le'Veon Bell owner.
Or someone who's had injuries.
Who's going to need the running back.
Devontae Freeman
Conner's,
owners.
James Conner's gone.
Like myself.
Jay Ajayi owners. Maybe need a rental.
Exactly.
Man, Jay Ajayi.
Get a couple week rental and then kick him to the curb.
I'm just saying, if you've got banged up running backs, James Conner is a short term solution if Bell comes back. But
he is. If you're a Fournette owner, I think obviously he's gonna be a good fill in for the next few weeks.
I mean, he's got the volume. That's what you want as a fantasy.
If you're a James Conner owner, I suggest that you sell as high as you can right now. Right now.
Yeah.
Very close. Sony Michel came within a yard of scoring, but did not score. There was a flag. But,
might be coming back.
Flag on the play.
Regardless. The Le'Veon Bell situation, I don't think anybody knows or has any idea what's really going to happen. It's really a hurry up and wait scenario here.
Yeah, this is just the first glimpse that we've got that he's going to be back this year, so...
I think the only reason you trade for him is if you are pretty much guaranteed or you know that you're going to make the playoffs. And you can afford to take that risk for the potential of the payoff being enormous.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're 0-4 right now, don't trade for Le'Veon. Not worth it.
Yeah. I guess if you... That could work too if you're 0-4 and you need to take a risk. You need something to work out.
Yeah, but that one's not going
to
work out.
Although you have to wait until you get there.
Yeah.
For sure.
So.
But if you can weather the storm for now,
I think
maybe that's a good move.
You should probably be minimum 2-2 if you're going to try and trade for him. And if you're going to trade him, again, you should be under 2-2, trying to make moves right now to get back in it. This is that point in the season where we're starting to see who's separating themselves from the pack in fantasy leagues. So,
absolutely.
Don't say it.
Let's see which teams are kind of... sputtering a little bit.
Yeah. You're hungry too. Let's go.
You guys are mean. I'm 0-4.
Yeah, let's go through the records in this room.
I'm 0-4.
Oh, yeah. We have somebody with a better record than me, actually, here.
Let me make my excuses.
Let's
Stop
talk about Hungy being 0-4.
Let's hear it.
I lost by 0.6 this week.
To who?
To my brother.
Your brother. Yeah. We've all got those pesky brothers.
Hey, I beat my brother this year.
I just...
those younger brothers in particular.
Demaryius Thomas.
Get you every time.
Demaryius Thomas.
Hey, Matt.
Oh, wait, who just scored?
Only winners get winged.
Oh, shit.
So, I don't know if anybody watched the... What are we looking at?
And James White just scored.
Oh, James White scored. Interesting.
I think so.
Oh,
they're all passing
know,
all that.
I don't know.
Wait, that's not ideal for me.
I don't know if anybody watched the Monday night game.
James White.
But at the very end of the game, there was a pass thrown by Case Keenum in the direction of Demaryius Thomas.
Oh, shit, he caught it, too.
It was about a yard overthrown, and that was just about it. It was almost catchable. Demaryius stuttered a little bit. Case overthrew him a little bit. That catch would have won me the week. That catch right there.
Yeah, it was actually very entertaining. It sucks that you weren't actually able to watch it live, but there was multiple of us in the league watching it live, watching your matchup, knowing that there was a lot on the line with the brother versus brother matchup. And it came down to the Monday night game where you each had a player, so it was back and forth at
the
end.
But his player was the kicker for Kansas City!
But it was enough!
Was it Butker?
Yeah, Harrison Butker.
Gotta love it.
Like
no, you don't. You don't gotta love it.
I do.
You love to see it. You love to see it.
No.
You're not representing the league well, man.
It's been a rough start.
New Sorry, people
I'll be leaving it out.
Yeah. But anyway, so let's move on to the first real topic that we want to talk about of fantasy relevance is the free agent pickups this week. So there's a couple of guys who I think that I've noticed were in a couple. Yeah, I mean, obviously we're past the waiver period, so the guys have been added to rosters at this point. But there was a few guys in particular that I saw in a lot of leagues that were available who have been having multiple good weeks in a row. First, I'll start with TJ Yeldon. I think out of my four leagues, he was already owned in two of them before this week, and then he was available in two of them as well. With Leonard Fournette going down with the hamstring injury, there's a lot of question marks there. He's had a setback, it seems like, and based off of what I've read the coach saying, Monroe, they don't know how long it's going to be until he's out, or until he's back. He's out indefinitely is what I saw, and as I said to you before, that word is always very scary, the indefinitely.
Yeah.
So, what are you guys feeling TJ Yeldon in the meantime? I think in the past few weeks, he's done very well. I'll pull up his stats.
His production last week was real solid.
Yeah. What about Corey Grant? I haven't seen too many Jaguars games. Is he getting any goal line looks?
Is that their next best?
Yeah, he's their other guy.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that. I think TJ Yeldon has been the guy. He's been splitting time with Fournette. Not splitting, but he's been getting a small percentage of looks while Fournette is healthy. So when Fournette's gone, he's going to get at least 70% of the...
Last week...
22 points.
Yeah, last week, Yeldon rushed 18 times for 52 yards and a touchdown. Also caught three passes for 48 yards and another touchdown.
That's always big, especially in, obviously, PPR leagues.
TJ Yeldon's a solid pickup. It really just depends on when Fournette comes back, because as soon as Fournette comes back, Yeldon's production completely goes away. And everybody knows that.
He's a great free agent pickup, though.
He's a good free agent pickup. I bid on him. I got outbid.
How much did you bid, by the way?
15.
You put like 38, right?
Yeah, I won the bid on him in our league. Our league's waiver system works based off of a cash amount that you have for the entire season to spend.
Which, for some reason, for us is $208.
So it's $209.
$209.
We picked a random amount. I think it was literally just like, let's pick a random amount. And so then we did. I think that's how that was determined.
That's fair.
I remember last year, I finished the season with a lot of leftover cash, and I decided that I'm not going to make that same mistake this year. So
I've been
spending good money on some good pickups, and I think that Yeldon, with Fournette's issues, even when Fournette comes back, he could be back next week and he can be in the roster, but the issue that he had is running full speed, and in practice he's going to be trying to push himself full speed, but once you get into that game, it's just a different story. And that's where he's had his issue, is once he gets in game mode, trying to go 100%, and he hasn't been able to. So I don't know how long he's going to be out, and when he does come back, he might be back out again, because he might just be trying to push it. So I really like Yeldon. I think he's got some good, not short-term, not long-term value, but I think that for the next at least 4 or 5 weeks, Yeldon could be your guy. He could be startable.
I'm a Fournette owner, took him in the first round, and I am fully prepared for life after Fournette, because you just can't trust him at the moment. With even when he is questionable, oh, he's a game-time decision. Okay, he's playing today. Will he pull his hammy in the first quarter? That's the question.
That's a decent question.
Well, I mean, that's what happened. I mean, he had the injury, and then he came back, and he just re-aggravated it. And so now we're real scared that... The next time he comes back, is he going to re-aggravate it again?
I don't know if I want to get burned again.
So, what are you doing as a Fournette owner? Are you trying to get a backup plan? Because you're drafting Leonard Fournette as probably an RB1 on your team.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. Do you have a better running back on your team than you have Fournette in?
I was pretty blessed with my running back situation. I have about...
I was blessed.
So, on any given week...
Two syllables, blessed.
I could start Carlos Hyde, Marshawn Lynch. I had Gio the past couple weeks while Mixon's been out.
Good RB2s. That's who
I got. They're all startable running backs for sure.
Oh.
Alex Collins, you could start. I mean, obviously the presence of Buck Allen is worrisome.
Yeah.
But he's still a very startable flex or RB2 guy. And then I have one more. Tariq Cohen also.
Okay.
He's on a bye this week.
So you've got
I can weather the storm of Fournette being out.
Ideally, you would like to replace him, though. I mean, you've got... From that, I heard two good running backs who I would be okay with starting every week.
Yeah.
And
Lynch and Hyde.
When they're on bye, then you're having some issues those weeks.
Yeah, I can scavenge.
Do you want to get another... I would want to get another running back. I don't know if Fournette would be the one I would have to sell. I might have to sell a wide receiver because you never know how other people are going to feel about Fournette. But
yeah.
If you can get somebody who believes in him, I would personally try and move him as quickly as I would.
That's true. I don't know. I believe I'd rather wait on it rather than sell low, because selling right now on Fournette would absolutely be selling low.
Yeah, you would have to sell low on him, but...
And it's funny, I was talking with Jason about this, where we both said, he has Le'Veon Bell, I have Fournette, and we both said that we wouldn't trade our player for the other one, just because they're both unknowns. You just don't really know.
Oh, the question marks. Gotta love them.
Meanwhile, Andrew Luck threw an interception at midfield with 38 seconds left, and now Brady's driving.
Yeah, eat shit, Ham.
Did he start Andrew Luck?
Yeah, he did.
Wow. Aggressive moves right here.
The battle of the little brothers.
The rookie younger brothers.
Yeah, they're rookies.
True.
They're both rookies, too.
Andrew Luck just dropped down to 2 points.
Let's go.
Damn, James White is still
going. But James White is still going strong.
Yeah, he's got 17. Yeah, zero rushing yards, but 17 points.
Remember when you were saying how, like, 8 points in the first half's not that good for...
And he caught that touchdown.
Well, 16 is good.
16.9 as well. So
he's got, like, what, 8 catches for 69 yards in a
touchdown? He's 69! Nice. He's got to stop right there.
He's
nice.
Got, that's all the reception yards he
needs. Wait, hold on.
Nice.
He has 8 catches in the first half?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How many catches has he got to finish with?
I don't know.
I think the games that we've seen this year with the most catches have all been running backs this year. Saquon had a 14-catch game.
This is
Chris Thompson had a 13-catch game.
What about Michael Thomas? I'm sure he's got a lot.
Yeah, he had one of the other better games in terms of number of catches.
Julio Jones, week one against the Eagles, he had, like, I know he had double digits.
My
this
favorite
is interesting, though. James White, week four, had 8 catches for 68 yards and a touchdown. In the first half of week five, he's got 8 catches for 69 yards and a touchdown.
Ooh.
Gotta
love it. It's all about improvement.
I've got him starting in 2 leagues, I believe.
I mean, you guys are proving me wrong here, but I'm standing by.
Tell me I got him in this other league.
Oh, and now they're pulling up. You know, I hate the NFL on Fox.
I sat him in this one league. God damn it.
It happens.
I hate the NFL on Fox. Everything about it. They're currently showing the Boston Sports Mount Rushmore.
Ugh.
Oh, God. It's disgusting.
Ugh. Is it, like, all sports?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, they can screw off.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can get fucked.
I've had issues talking crap on Boston recently because I've been friends with more and more people that are from Boston, but, like, I just can't help myself but just to talk shit on Boston and Boston sports fans.
I hate them. Ugh. Moving on, I'm just going to get more mad. My team is still 0-4. All right,
another free agent pickups this week. Two wide receivers that we have. Tyler Boyd, I think, was available in a lot of leagues this week.
He definitely was.
Yeah, do you know who's leading the
Bengals?
He's had
a lot of good weeks.
Do you know who's leading the Bengals in targets, catches, and yards?
Well, I can tell you it's not John Ross.
It's Tyler Boyd.
Probably Boyd.
AJ Green's leading in touchdowns, but everything else, it's Tyler Boyd.
Won't be Tyler Eifert going forward.
Wow, Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, look at that guy.
Look at the stat lines in the past 3 weeks.
Week 4, 11 catches, 100 yards. Week 3, 6 catches for 132 yards and a touchdown. Week 2, 6 catches, 91 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he's been as good as you can get in terms of consistency. And he's really, like I said, he's been a free agent, so... You're picking him up. He should be at the very least a flex starter right now with the way he's been playing.
This past week, his ownership percentage went up 12.8%.
He's owned now after the waiver claims in 75.5% of leagues.
Still too low.
Too low. Gone up 12%.
Going up almost 13% is huge.
And that was after he already had 2 good weeks in a row.
I think he went up like 40% last week.
Yeah.
It was between 30 and 40%.
So I think Andy Dalton's having a surprisingly good year.
But the Bengals as a team aren't.
The Bengals aren't, but in terms of fantasy production, Andy Dalton's
startable.
Been good, and he's been getting his guys the ball.
I might even switch to him before Sunday.
I think I saw this Giovanni Bernard. He was not practicing today, so with Joe Mixon coming back, that could be an interesting situation.
It's
going to
be a big thing for Mixon if he does play. I know there were still a couple questions.
Yeah, let's see what his...
Giovanni Bernard was not in uniform Thursday. He's not expected to participate in practice.
It looks like Mixon was limited today on Thursday.
Yeah. I think Mixon will be playing pretty much. He's still projected points, right?
Mixon is trending towards week 5.
Yes, he is.
Week 5.
That is this is.
Oh yeah, that's this week.
That is this week. If Bernard is unable to play week 5, rookie Mark Walton would likely step in as Mixon's top backup
and get probably 2 carries.
Mark Walton.
Yeah, so.
I was going to say Mark Wahlberg.
Again.
Have you guys ever heard of Mark Walton?
The Bengals have a lot going on fantasy-wise to pay attention to. They're looking like that normal regular season Bengals team that just lights it up during the regular season. So I think you should pay attention to, in particular, A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, and then the 2 running backs as well.
Fair.
A.J. Green, or Andy Dalton himself might be a good filler for weeks when your quarterback is on byes. Obviously, we're getting into that time of the year where byes are coming into play.
Or injuries.
Injuries and byes, so you know, you gotta worry about that.
Andy Dalton this week
isn't being rostered. I don't know how many of you guys, do you guys roster 2 quarterbacks throughout the season?
No.
It depends on who my QB1 is.
No, I don't really try to, but.
It depends on who my QB1 is. If I've got a middle of the road QB1, then I'll roster a second one and play matchups. If I've got a top tier quarterback, then I'll usually just roster him and pick somebody up for the 1 bye week.
Right. So yeah, if you got one on top, guys. See, I have the situation where I kept in our league Deshaun Watson, and then I happened to just draft Pat Mahomes in the 16th round. And Pat Mahomes obviously has come to be much better than any other quarterback in fantasy right now. And so I'm starting him over Deshaun, but I can't just drop Deshaun Watson.
So you try and pawn him off on everybody in the league.
I've tried, but like the thing is, nobody wants quarterbacks. You know,
yeah, unless I'm fine with starting Alex Smith for free rather than trading for Deshaun Watson.
I'm in a really good place with Cam Newton and Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but again, Big Ben's one of those quarterbacks where if you're streaming quarterbacks or you drafted a quarterback late, he's a great guy to have who you could get late. You know,
he's the 9th ranked quarterback right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's got the good options. He's got 2 of the best receivers. This is one thing I wanted to talk about as well is who's got the best receiving core in the NFL? What do you guys think?
I don't...
Let's talk about from fantasy-wise. Who's got the best fantasy receiving core in the NFL?
I mean, I feel like it has to be the Rams.
The Rams?
I feel like it has to be.
Just because they
Brandon
have 3 Cooks guys?
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, just because they have 3 guys that are consistently putting up numbers between Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and
Brandon Cooks.
But my only problem with that is, do any of those 3 guys really hold value if you are trying to make a trade?
Yeah.
If you're trying to make a trade for an RB1 or a wide receiver 1,
I would, I'd consider
is
it.
Cooper Kupp really, like,
Cooper
making
Kupp
the difference in the deal?
32 fantasy points this past week.
I agree that they're good, but is he, like, do people like him enough that he's making a difference in
If somebody offered me Cooper Kupp for my RB1, I'd legitimately consider it.
Oh, wow. What do you think he's ranked this season as far as points go, Nick?
Who?
Cooper Kupp.
He's gotta be,
I'd say top 5.
He's got to be. He's
he's number 5. Right
I'd say
now.
5. Yeah, top 5. Yeah. I think
he's consistent too. His lowest week was 9.3.
What about this? What if you tried to trade Cooper Kupp for Odell straight up?
Ooh.
Cuz this
right
is,
now, right now I'd rather have Goff throwing to somebody than Eli.
Would you make that trade though?
Yeah.
You have Odell, somebody offers you Cooper Kupp for Odell.
Cooper Kupp's consistently putting up more points than Odell.
But then
I think
you think about
Odell.
It, I would keep Odell too. But
you keep Odell because Odell's the better receiver. I'm not saying Odell's not the better receiver, but Cooper Kupp is going to get more fantasy points right now than Odell Beckham because Eli Manning cannot throw him the football.
I just feel like the Rams receivers are great from an NFL standpoint, but they don't get the love in terms of like fantasy value.
Odell Beckham is not getting the love in fantasy value.
He just hasn't scored a touchdown yet.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp scored 2 on Monday night.
We don't have to worry about Odell's targets going down.
He's
going to be
getting
looks.
He's getting double-digit targets.
He's
getting the catches. He's getting the yards.
I'm not saying he's not going to get targets. But Eli Manning cannot get him the football.
Yeah.
He's had 1 game so far where he's gotten double-digit targets. That was week 1.
Thanks, offensive line.
He has no touchdowns.
Shouts to Eric Flowers.
That's the worst, though, is not having touchdowns.
Right, he doesn't have any touchdowns, and that's...
is a point that brings us back to the free agent pickups. Calvin Ridley, is he the better wide receiving option for fantasy in Atlanta than Julio Jones?
I mean, Atlanta's a lot of weapons.
Julio doesn't get touchdowns right now either.
So would you rather have Calvin Ridley? I mean, again, I'm not going to put it on a trade for Calvin Ridley or Julio Jones. Obviously, you would take Julio Jones.
I'd rather have Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman.
You want Devontae Freeman?
I own Devontae Freeman.
So you need him to do good.
I own him.
But I'm staying away from Devontae Freeman.
He's back this week against Pittsburgh, whose defense is garbage.
What was his injury again? Was it a knee?
It was a knee.
Knee? Sounds about right.
Yeah.
That being said,
speaking of Matt's running backs playing with injuries, how about Jay Ajayi playing with a broken back? Fracture in his back.
I'm actually at a crossroads as far as which running backs to start this week.
Yeah.
I got Devontae Freeman, Jay Ajayi, and Matt Breida.
Not great options, though.
Those are decent options. You've got Devontae Freeman against who? Pittsburgh? Garbage defense. Jay Ajayi against Minnesota, again, this year, garbage defense. And you've got Matt Breida against Arizona, who has let up the most points against running backs so far this season.
Arizona's a dumpster fire. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
I think I like all three of the running backs this week, but I don't want to start three because I want to keep Robert Woods in the flex because we just talked about Rams wide receivers.
This is true.
Yeah. I think
we did just talk about them.
If you do have the Rams wide receivers this week, you're starting all three of them. You're probably starting all three of them in your flex, but you got to force them into your lineup after the way that they've been playing this season.
I mean, my receiver core for this week is not bad. Antonio Brown, Will Fuller, Robert Woods, and then the combination of Breida, Freeman, and Ajayi at running back. I'm not upset about that.
Hungy, didn't you like tell us yourself that we're not supposed to take your advice on fantasy after starting 0-4, and you're actually like defending your 0-4 team right now?
All right, my team's been banged
up. It's not that bad.
My team has been banged up. Freeman and Ajayi were both. I was forced to start Theo Riddick at running back. Okay?
That is bottom of the... That is rock bottom right there.
I'm aware.
I mean, Theo Riddick maybe 4 years ago wouldn't have been a bad option in the flex, but not now.
That's how banged up my team was. But we're in good shape now. We're coming. We're coming hard.
I don't think we should talk about your team anymore, Hungy.
We're ready to win.
Let's talk about somebody else's team.
Oh,
who
God.
Is 4-0?
Pete has Tom Brady.
It's a 4-0 team over here. Oh, Hungy's playing against Tom Brady.
You love to see it. I didn't even notice that.
But let's ignore Hungy crying. Kevin, again, I'll reiterate, this is a 4-0 team in our league as a newcomer. But he's got some interesting decisions to make since he's got a good roster. And this week, he's decided to make one questionable decision. I'll let him tell you. What is that, Kevin?
Yeah, so I generally only, on my bench, I only roster running backs and wide receivers. I never have a backup quarterback or tight end, defense, kicker. I never do any of that. So I had a breadth of running backs, like I mentioned earlier, and I also have a pretty decent core of receivers. So I took Tyreek Hill in the third round, and then I traded for Adam Thielen as a keeper, which Nick is not too happy about because he was the one who traded him to me.
Yeah.
And then I drafted Alshon Jeffrey late, Aguilar, and I picked up Tyler Boyd. And I decided to roll with Tyreek Hill on the bench this week in favor of Adam Thielen, Tyler Boyd, and Alshon Jeffrey.
Wow.
Tyreek Hill on the bench.
Bold move, I think so, but...
You said the guys that you have over Tyreek Hill are Alshon Jeffrey and...
Adam Thielen and Tyler Boyd.
And Tyler Boyd. So
I got a feeling. And when I'm right, I'm going to look like a genius.
I don't know, man. You do have a good... solid squad of four there. I mean, we just made the argument for Tyler Boyd needing to start him. He's had multiple 100-yard games in a row.
Just look at that consistency. 18.
Yeah, 6, 6, and 11 the past 3 weeks in terms of number of catches.
90 yards, 132 yards, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns in that span.
Yeah, so I understand starting him. I would maybe...
against Miami, who couldn't stop anything last week against the Patriots.
And again, we're talking about matchups, so you are saying Tyreek Hill is playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep.
And we
say the word Jaguars again.
Jaguars.
Jaguars.
You made it like four syllables. Jaguars.
That's how the British say it. Don't you hear the Jaguar commercials on TV? They say Jaguar.
Yeah. Well,
that's how the British say it.
The British lost their claim to the word Jaguar in 1776.
Anyway, picking up from where I left off. Right,
fair enough.
Jalen Ramsey's been starting some shit with Tyreek Hill as well, which is nice to see because I feel like recently we've been seeing a very tame Jalen Ramsey in terms of talking smack in the media. So it's nice to see Jalen Ramsey back to talking shit on people before the matchup, so... That'll obviously be something that they are going to be covering pregame on Sunday and something that everybody will be looking forward to. I don't know about you guys, but Jalen Ramsey is one of my favorite players in the league just in terms of watching him. So, yeah, that's the big question that you have is the matchup there.
Jalen Ramsey is good, but I think he thinks he's way better than he is.
I mean, he's one of the
best
right now.
He is one of the best corners in the league. I'm not downing that.
And
but
he's
I think
young
he
still,
thinks
too.
He is the best corner of all
it's
time.
His third year.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put him in that category
right.
yet, but...
I wouldn't either, but I think
he has the chance.
He's there.
He has the chance. He just has to... He's confident. And he talks shit because he knows that it affects people.
Corners have very short lifespans in the NFL.
Which is why he's making his mark while he can.
Right. I'm not saying that that's not the case. I'm just saying that, you know, making the case for him being one of the best of all time already is just so far out of the picture.
Yeah, but that's an NFL argument. I think that Tyreek Hill is still going to have a good game.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that gives me pause is his performance last week showed me something that I wasn't really expecting. Usually you think of him as like a 3 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown kind of guy.
Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
This year, I'm seeing him with at least 5 catches.
This
a game.
Year.
Catches a game at least.
He was averaging 22 yards a catch, I think, before last week. And last week, his longest catch was 15 yards. And he had, like, I think it was 9 or 10 catches.
Yeah.
That's something a little different that I didn't expect to see, really.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just, like, it's the most explosive offense. They're playing against a very good defense, but I don't know. It's one of those things where you got... It's a tough call. You got a good offense going against good defense. So you got to play it. But I think the way that this Kansas City team has been playing right now, they're all must-start players. Their stars are must-start players.
That's the other thing. I mean, Nick's not going to want to hear this, but Mahomes is coming down to earth at some point. He's not going to be throwing 6 touchdown games.
I'll believe it when I see it.
It'll happen. It'll happen at some point.
I mean, I agree. I think he'll come back down to earth, but I got to see it.
Yeah, how about a nice defensive front from the Jaguars to put some pressure on a rookie quarterback?
Really.
That's the thing I'd be worried about most.
So, you know.
If he does it against this team, are you going to believe in him like for good, though? We
also know that he can almost throw left-handed. We know that he can throw a football like 90 yards.
He has Jamarcus Russell's arm, but everything else that you'd want in a quarterback that Jamarcus didn't have.
He also has Grover Lee Frog's voice.
Oh my god,
he's got the Evan Turner voice, right?
What's worse, Kawhi Leonard's laugh or Pat Mahomes' voice?
Pat Mahomes' voice.
Yeah, that's all the time. Kawhi Leonard doesn't laugh all the time.
Kawhi Leonard just doesn't laugh at all.
Yeah, he's not experienced
at
laughing.
Like,
it's
time.
Tough for him.
You can't even do it justice just because it's so like. but that was one instance as opposed to Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes can't stop talking like that because that is his actual voice. And it's like he's Grover the Frog with a southern accent.
I want to hear him calling out like pre snap.
He calls in the play.
I want to hear him just, like, yelling. What does he sound like when he yells? Does he sound normal when he yells?
Hey!
Grayson
Heights!
42's the make! This one's coming to you, Travis!
Do you guys remember how Evan Turner used to talk? sound like a bubble in the back of the throat. Remember that?
No, I did
you
not.
You remember Evan Turner's voice?
I remember Evan Turner talking.
That's literally what he sounded like.
But it's, I think the best
Which
thing
is worse.
About... I think the best thing about Mahomes' voice is that if you looked at him, that is about the last voice that you
no
would expect
way
to come out from him.
Yeah, I would not, like...
Like, that is the last voice you would expect to come out of his mouth.
Tim Duncan, too, he's got a high voice.
Yeah, Tim does. Mm.
Well, I love that when, like, somebody just, like... They have a high-pitched voice when you would not expect them to at all. I think I've seen that with some of the black hockey players, like Wayne Simmonds and P.K. Subban. P.K. Subban in particular. Like, if you've ever seen P.K. Subban, he looks like he's a bruiser and that he's not somebody to be fucked with. Which he has not. But when you hear him talk, he's definitely got, like, a very high-pitched voice. And
that's
it just
weird
makes him seem... It makes you seem weirder.
Yeah,
not as intimidating, but... God bless you, Pat Mahomes. You've been the reason why I've been doing successful in fantasy this year. Because I have your tight end as well.
All right.
Yeah, Jason's claiming he'd be 4-0 if he had just drafted Pat Mahomes.
Or if he had started a kicker.
True. Well, he'd be 3-1. He'd be 3-1.
I'd be 2-2 right now if he
still lost
a kicker
to me by 1 point.
Be a lot sadder. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate
anyway
you for that one. Always will.
Anyway. Let's talk about the biggest fantasy surprises and disappointments so far. We are, believe it or not, one quarter of the way through the NFL regular season. So, right.
Yeah. We're getting to the point where you can actually, like, make judgments, and it's not just one or two games that we're going based off of. We're going through based off of four games to judge people, so we can actually start making legitimate criticisms of players and...
I'll give you my biggest surprises. My biggest disappointment so far is definitely Jason Witten in the Monday Night Football booth. good Lord. or just Monday Night Football in general. Joe Tessitore, Jason Witten, and Booger McFarlane.
Booger.
What a god-awful combination. Booger doesn't shut up. Jason Witten doesn't talk, period. And Joe Tessitore has no emotion.
Yeah,
so,
I want to mute it after Gruden left.
Yeah, it is just Monday Night Football is complete garbage, and they gotta right the ship. They gotta get Witten out.
Grinder.
Also, Booger's little tractor on the sideline
oh
is the
God
most obnoxious thing ever.
Every time I see that, like when they put him on the camera, I think like, oh my God, he's in a wheelchair now.
it is complete garbage on Monday Night Football
tough out
right
here
now.
Yeah, I mean it's a transition period for them. Teams go through transition periods. Monday Night
Football. They're on a rebuild.
Yeah, they're rebuilding right now.
But on
trust
a serious
the process
note.
Yo,
on
speaking
a
of which,
note,
wait, hold on.
Going
back to announcers. Worst part about announcers this year, not that. The fact that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are
on Thursday
on
night.
Thursday night games.
Like, we have to listen to Joe Buck twice a week now.
Oh, my God.
It's all right. So can we talk about just how bad football broadcasting is in general right now?
Yeah.
Joe Buck twice a week. Monday Night Football is just garbage. The Barber Brothers on the afternoon games on Fox. Have you seen the bullshit that they're doing with Tiki and Rondé? First things first.
Are they really?
First
I
things
believe
first,
it, but...
Rondé's still in the booth. Tiki's on the field, kind of
yeah
like Booger McFarlane. But you can't tell a difference in their voices.
That's a problem.
You can't,
that's an
you
issue.
You can't tell who is who.
That's an issue.
Also, they'll cut to the Tiki cam. Tiki is wearing a hat with a camera on it. So you're seeing where he's looking.
What's
and
the
it's
point
the
of that
dumbest thing ever. He'll be standing in the corner of the end zone looking at the play, and you're just Tiki cam. But it's a GoPro, so it's widescreen. You have no depth perception.
It's just like, how is the regular camera not
it
better
oh
than that?
Oh my God, it's complete garbage.
Why would I benefit from
stunt
seeing what Tiki Barber sees?
It's a stunt.
No.
It's a sad day. It's a truly, truly, truly sad day when the best commenting team on football right now is Jim Nantz and Tony Romo.
Yeah. Mm. Honestly, I don't have any qualms with Tony Romo. He just happened to play for the Cowboys.
He's very vocal. That's his thing. With
yeah, he talks a lot.
I really didn't even mind him when he was on the Cowboys as a person. As a player, I hated to see him.
I mean, he's
know
just another puppet.
And don't get me started.
He's another puppet.
I think Chris Collinsworth is senile at this point.
Oh, jeez. Don't even...
Wait, okay. What do you guys think about his son, who's now like a regular on SportsCenter?
I haven't seen him.
You haven't seen him?
I've heard of it.
He tries too hard. He tries too hard to be like funny and
boom
down to
goes
earth.
The dynamite.
It's kind of like that.
One of those.
All right.
Back to the disappointments.
Serious surprises.
Getting off topic, great.
Serious surprises and disappointments. For most people right now, I would say people who drafted with high hopes, huge disappointment in Kerryon Johnson right now.
I mean, like,
so far. I'm talking so far. He has potential going forward.
Yeah.
But so far.
He's done well the past few weeks, so
honestly,
he's looking. He's trending up.
Honestly, just Lions running back in general.
Well, yeah.
LeGarrette Blount, Kerryon Johnson, Theo Riddick, just nothing.
Their entire offense has definitely been off this year. I'm still a believer in Golden Tate, and I think that you gotta start him. Marvin Jones has been somebody who has not done well as I would have thought he would have done, and I'm starting to get seriously worried about Marvin Jones. So
yeah,
yeah, their entire offense has definitely been off this year.
Here's a question: two players more disappointing. Which one's more disappointing relative to where they probably would have been drafted? David Johnson or Jordan Howard?
David Johnson.
David Johnson.
You took him as a top three running back and possibly a top three overall pick.
Yeah,
your second round
last
pick
week was Jordan
late.
Howard. He was healthy. He just didn't.
Yeah, but
he just didn't get the ball.
I feel like Jordan Howard. If you were drafting him as your number one running back,
not
you were taking
one,
a risk.
You were probably taking him as your number two, maybe three.
David Johnson, you were not only taking him as your number one running back, you were taking him as a top overall pick. So that
David
was
Johnson,
definitely the bigger disappointment so far this year. But
David Johnson has yet to break 100 yards so far,
even
as far as rushing goes.
He broke 50 yards once.
He broke 100 all purpose last week, but he has yet to rush for over 100.
He's one of those regular consistent guys so far this week or this year. I think he's been an RB two.
Average.
He's been a good RB two, but you're drafting him as the top RB one. So major disappointment from where you drafted him. I'd say another running back has been pretty big disappointment. Surprisingly enough, I think Kareem Hunt has been kind of a disappointment so far. You drafted him
I'd
as
say so.
He's number nine right now.
He's number nine, but I think you drafted him as a top five. So, I mean, it's not as drastic as David Johnson, but I think still, with as good as that offense has been, and like being. I think the problem is the fact that their defense is so bad that they're not actually up in games and letting him run the ball. They have to keep throwing the ball to be competitive in their games.
He's had four touchdowns in the last three games, though. I mean, really, just he had a bad week one.
I mean, he's...
He just had a bad week one, it looks like.
He's good, but I don't know. We'll see. I still believe in him, but he's definitely been not as high as I think he was drafted.
Yeah.
And then there's one big disappointment, which we talked about already a little bit, but Chris Hogan.
Oh yeah, major.
You know, we talked about that
a little
bit earlier.
I don't need to keep going on
him, but huge disappointment there. Trying to see if there's anybody else.
I think
really comes to mind as far as disappointment goes.
I don't know if you want to include people who got injured, but like
I'm talking about
like Leonard Fournette, Devontae Freeman have been injured, and that's kind of been a disappointment.
No, I'm talking about healthy people not performing.
Yeah.
I mean, Gronk, let's talk about him for a second. He's had some, he's really been buoyed by his week one performance where I think he had like 18 points. And other than that, he's had like 4, 2, 6. Yeah, he had 2.5 week two. He had 7 and 6.
Gronk's been a huge disappointment. I've had him in a league where it's just like, you draft him to be the top overall tight end in the league. And he's, where's he among tight ends?
He's probably... Oh, he's still
number seven. I mean, he's getting his looks, but you're still
tight
you
ends just
him.
Suck in general.
Well,
fantasy-wise.
If you're gonna talk about disappointing tight ends, Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham caught his first touchdown in Green Bay last week in Week 4. Prior to that, Week 2 he had 95 yards off 6 catches, and that is his high so far on the season. 1.8 points week 1, 12.5 week 2, 7 week 3, 9.6 week 4. And that's with the touchdown. He only caught 3 balls for 21 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers hasn't figured out Jimmy Graham yet, and that should be very alarming to Jimmy Graham owners.
I think a lot of people were really excited for that prospect of Aaron Rodgers throwing to him.
Yeah, I think the Packers in general have been definitely a big struggle this year, and it all stems from Aaron Rodgers being hurt. And he's going to be hurt all year long. He's going to be nursing this injury, and it's going to affect everybody. I think Davante Adams is the only one who has still been like remotely successful while Rodgers has been hurt.
Yeah.
And even then, he's hurt now himself, and him being successful has been like what you would expect a minimum from him from where you drafted him. So Packers are struggling right now. They got Aaron Jones back. He's slowly getting back into the mix. He got a touchdown last week, got more looks, equal number two as Jamal Williams, and I think that he'll definitely be getting more of the workload from the running back situation. But the Packers, just from fantasy standpoint, are just a team I would stay away from right now.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I definitely have to agree.
Yeah, what's Rodgers even doing fantasy wise?
He's like, I don't know, probably
16.
The 16th best quarterback in fantasy right now. So you drafted him as the number one quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe number two if you drafted Brady first, but he's been nothing compared to what you wanted from him. So I don't. You might be getting to the point where you want to start other quarterbacks over him. I usually say that he's one of those guys where even if he's hurt, no matter what, you want to start him over anybody else. But just the way that he's been playing, it's not Aaron Rodgers-esque. He, again, led us on with that comeback win against the Bears. And was that week one? Or week two? Whatever week he got injured in. When he came back.
Mac was an absolute man-child.
Yeah. So he led us on and made us believe, oh, it doesn't matter if he's hurt. He's going to be Aaron Rodgers no matter what. Since then, he hasn't been. So tread lightly with the Green Bay Packers, anybody on their team.
That was week one.
Yeah. But another disappointment from my team has been Odell Beckham Jr. You guys want to talk about Odell?
He's getting the targets.
Pictures of babies.
Yeah, Instagram. I was letting you rant. Odell plays for the Giants. The Giants also play in the NFC East
okay,
division.
I already
football.
Don't want you to talk. All right,
yeah, let's anymore.
Kevin, you can talk.
All right, so the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, right?
That's a fact. And the Giants finished 3-13. Odell Beckham Jr. was on that team.
You're the one.
He did hit a
about.
Kicking net with his helmet that came back to bite him in the head.
He also
that was
got,
a little
yeah.
All right, so let's.
We're only one game behind you guys, right? Wow.
4 weeks.
We're only
the season.
One game ahead of that.
We played four games.
All right, so anyways, OBJ.
I could
he's
say the
getting
same
the targets.
Thing.
He's getting the catches. He's just not getting the touchdowns. Simple as that. I mean, it's going to happen. He's going to get touchdowns. He's just had a slow start in that regard.
Yeah. He's athletic enough.
He's
going
to come in.
Oh, he's absolutely athletic enough.
He changes the game.
Physically, he is one of the best receivers in the league, if not the best.
You got to put him top three, bare minimum.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Him, Antonio, and Julio.
But he's never going to hit his full potential with Eli at this point.
So you got to keep starting him.
Sam Darnold, he could have hit his potential.
I think I'm more worried about
different
Odell.
Different New York team.
In terms of trades. I think people are worried about just where he stands from like a trade standpoint. I've been seeing his name coming up a lot in the past week in terms of people questioning trades.
I would buy.
So,
if I'm in a position to trade
you
for him,
you
want
to buy him?
Absolutely, I would.
He's definitely a buy low right now compared
absolutely.
To where he should be ranked.
He's
so.
Getting the volume. I mean, that's the thing that I would be worried about. If he was getting touchdowns but on two catches for 12 yards, I'd be more worried than if he was getting eight catches for 60 yards.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have the volume and the consistency in that regard than getting a couple touchdowns here and there because that might not be consistent.
If you're an owner, are you selling or are you keeping?
I'm keeping if I'm an owner. So you're selling low.
Yeah. You have to right now, you would be selling him low, so.
Yeah, but you'd get something from him.
Yeah.
He's the 27th ranked receiver right now in half point PPR league.
Yikes.
I mean,
yeah.
That's definitely not what you drafted him for.
No, you drafted him in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You drafted him probably top five in the first round.
It looks
round.
Like
he's 20,
I think Ham won.
He's 22 in a regular 1 point per reception league. But still, again, that doesn't...
Yeah, 22 receivers ahead of him.
Yeah.
If he was picked in the top... Even in the top 10 picks overall in a league, yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, similarly to him, another receiver who has not been fulfilling his expectations is Keenan Allen.
Yikes.
Keenan Allen is, again, part of my team, and he's been really kind of giving me more question marks than anybody else.
I blame it on the soccer stadium.
I don't.
How so?
Because they don't have a home
They don't
game.
Have fans?
Yeah, they don't have fans.
What's worse, playing in a soccer stadium or playing on a baseball field?
Oh, baseball field for sure.
No, soccer
Playing stadium. On dirt?
So, if
I would hate that.
If you have no fans...
Imagine tackled.
Right, but at least
oh
the
God.
Raiders fill their stadium.
That's true.
Right. They might play on dirt, but they fill that stadium up. In L.A., at those Chargers and Rams games... They don't fill those things up, and the Chargers is worse because...
They only hold 30,000 people.
It holds, like, 17,000.
Is it? Damn.
Oh, yeah. It holds 17,000, and usually 14 of the 17 are away fans.
Yeah, about that Birds game week 4 last year?
Exactly. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers are getting booed at home every week.
They're not bad, either.
Right.
They might be the best in their division.
Yeah. I think the Chargers make the playoffs.
I've said it before. I will say it again. Los Angeles is not a football town. They're not.
Yeah, it holds 27,000, the stadium. But still, I mean, that's not high.
It's embarrassing.
They just got two teams.
They
better
like
become
like
a football
No,
city?
Los Angeles is not a football town.
Yeah,
they're
Link,
not.
The Link is 70.
Mm.
Right.
Well, yeah. Sorry.
Then you got some of these college stadiums that are like 110.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get back to the point. Keenan Allen, do you guys have him on any of your teams?
I do not.
I do not.
Well,
I only have two leagues.
You're lucky. I think that I have him on my team. I've drafted him the past few years. And
season-ending injuries.
He's had a few season-ending injuries, but when he's healthy, he's usually gotten a lot of looks. And I think so far this season he's gotten a lot of looks, but...
And from Phillip Rivers, too, he throws a lot.
Phillip Rivers is definitely a good underrated fantasy quarterback.
He hasn't scored since week one. He's
not catching the ball as much, too. He's getting more looks than he's catching.
Only 3 catches in week 3.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough. And that being said, you're playing against the Rams, who have a great defense, but...
That was when they lost both cornerbacks, though, that week. That was the week that they lost both of their cornerbacks.
Right, but the Rams' pass rush was still getting the Phillip Rivers.
That's true. I'll give you that, yeah.
And that's why I'm nervous about Pat Mahomes throwing to Tyreek Hill this week.
But he's another person who you can buy low, who people might be selling low. Odell people might not want to sell low, but Keenan Allen, people might want to sell him low. So
oh, yeah.
He might be a good buy low candidate right now.
Yeah. All right.
So do we want to go any more surprises?
I don't know.
I think we've only talked about disappointments to this point.
Yeah. I mean, I immediately, as far as surprises come to mind...
I think we've talked about most of the surprises in the past few weeks. Calvin Ridley is the only one who we kind of, like, touched on earlier, didn't really talk too much about. But, yeah, I mean, I was saying to somebody else, if you drafted Mohamed Sanu as the Falcons' number two wide receiver... Yeah, he's number 3 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Ridley's number 2.
Where's Austin Hooper slot in there?
He might be Austin Hooper.
Tight end. I mean, he's a big body.
I don't know.
Goal line looks, I would definitely look his way.
I don't really look at Austin Hooper as a consistent option.
I wouldn't start him, but
I have to start him in a league where I had Delanie Walker. It's my 12-team league. I had Delanie Walker. I drafted him. Lost him for the season. Then I replaced him with Will Disley. Who, this past week, just got, I think, put in air cast as well.
Jeez.
My only option is...
Austin Hooper.
Yeah, Austin Hooper, so...
I threw Austin Hooper in the lineup in one of my leagues, because I had Eifert.
Oh, that was another tough one. Glad he got a touchdown before he got injured.
I didn't see the injury, but I heard it was pretty gruesome.
It's gruesome.
It looked
bad.
Was
it Gordon Hayward-esque?
But,
no, it wasn't that bad.
Okay,
but
that was pretty bad.
That was bad.
There is good news. I am a James Conner owner in that league.
Okay.
And I have set the bait for a James Conner for Travis Kelce trade.
Set the bait.
You've planted the seed.
Have you gotten any nibbles on that bait?
Oh, we got fish on right now.
Oh, you have fish on?
We got fish on. I'm just working on reeling it in.
Okay.
That's fair. Here's a question. Does it surprise either of you that Michael Thomas is the number one receiver so far?
Number one?
Does it surprise
kind
you?
Kind of. It surprises me that he's number one.
I mean, you would think he'd be top five, top ten, but maybe not number one.
Yeah.
So far.
All right, maybe not number one, but I would have expected at least top five.
Yeah.
Top five.
Over Antonio Brown.
I could see that.
I mean...
Over Antonio Brown. Uh-huh. He's
Antonio
the one.
Brown, you would think, would be number
one. I wouldn't crawl when I would die.
I think he's...
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, speaking
he's
of disappointment,
oh,
I mean, like...
Man.
He's not been terrible
for
this
where you
year,
drafted him.
But, like, yeah, again, Antonio Brown, you expect him to be better than, like, most people in the league. And he's been...
Yeah, let's see where he's at.
He's ranked in a one-point PPR league 16 among wide receivers.
19.5
Not what you want. And you watch him play, he's still...
Juju's higher than
him.
I know. Stop.
He looks good.
It hurts.
He looks
I'm talking
good.
About you. I'm just trying to inform the people.
Juju's ranked higher than him. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, how about that grab that he had on Sunday night against the Ravens? That was pretty nice. That touchdown.
Hey,
maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of his MO as well, is that he knows
yeah.
how to make plays and get on SportsCenter top 10. That's
mm-hmm.
part of his deal.
Well,
absolutely.
Maybe he should score more touchdowns and shut up.
Maybe you should tell him that.
Like, all the touchdowns. Score all the touchdowns.
Maybe you should tell him that, like Ruxin did in the league to Golden Tate. Remember that?
Yes.
Taco's like, yeah, he's one of my buds. Like, I met him, I forget. How does he know all these
They're
people?
They're Eskimo brothers.
I don't know. Oh, that's right.
Probably Eskimo brothers.
He's Eskimo brothers with everyone, though.
The EBDBBNB. What a great show.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, we're getting towards the end, so let's finish up here. Let's go over here to...
No Fireball hot take today.
Oh, yeah. No Jason. So, sorry. I don't have any Fireball at my house. I would love to have poured a shot for all of us to take it, but...
I could punch you in the face and then have you make a prediction.
No.
Yeah, hard pass on that one.
No.
I'm not going to do that.
I'll give it a soft pass.
But yeah, let's do some stardom sit-ems.
The hard-hitting takes.
We're going to go on Twitter for this one. Side note, if you haven't already, go follow us on Twitter at @PPR_official. We are here to answer any of your questions, so feel free, just go follow us.
Just don't ask Matt any questions.
Tweeting.
I respond sometimes.
Yeah, it's mostly me.
Don't ask for his advice.
All right, let's see. Stardom sit-ems. So we got Drew Brees versus Washington or Deshaun Watson versus Dallas.
Oh, man.
Huge both trash. good matchups.
Trash
they both got
NFC
good opponents. I got to go with Drew Brees. Deshaun Watson's got the running ability and everything, and he's been good the past few weeks, but the Saints' offense is literally passing the ball on probably 80%+ of the plays. So,
yeah,
I got to go with Drew Brees.
Their best receiver, I mean, they have Michael Thomas, obviously, but it honestly might be Alvin Kamara.
Or now Mark Ingram.
Or Mark Ingram. I mean, they just... Even their running backs are catching passes. So, I mean, I think Drew Brees is definitely a good pick.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with this one. Who do I start my flex spot? Josh Gordon, Will Fuller, or Joe Mixon?
Comes down to health.
Will Fuller.
Monitor that until Sunday. Definitely.
Right, but if Will Fuller's playing, it's got to be Will Fuller.
Definitely don't start Josh Gordon, because
yeah.
I think we know that...
It's too late for that.
Well, yeah, if you started Josh Gordon, this question's redundant.
What is the stat line for him so far?
Zero.
Zero?
Yeah.
He hasn't caught a ball yet?
Last I checked, it was zero.
Yep. Zero catches so far, so...
Rough.
Yeah.
What was the stat line last game? Didn't he get, like, 2 catches for 30 yards or something like that?
Yeah, and, like, 1 catch... Before that, so I don't...
Yeah.
I think that Josh Gordon's starting to lose a little bit of value, even being on the Pats. They've got Edelman back, plenty of other options.
Here's a good one. Grade the trade.
Grade the trade. All right. Here's a variation of the...
Ezekiel Elliott and Will Fuller for OBJ and David Johnson.
Ooh. that's two guys who are very highly rated that have been underperforming.
I'd take David Johnson.
Right, he's giving.
I would take that long term.
He's giving up
while they're both by lows.
This guy's giving up Zeke and Fuller for OBJ and Johnson.
Kind of biased because I just wouldn't want Zeke on my team anyways.
I feel like those are two starters for one definite starter and one like flex player. So
Will Fuller is a flex.
I mean, depending on what
Will Fuller. Look at his numbers. He's scoring touchdowns every week. Will Fuller's no flex right now. Will Fuller's at least a wide receiver, too.
Is he even healthy right now?
He's questionable.
He's questionable.
I hate they got rid of probable.
What's the questionable saying about him?
Let it go. Don't. Limited practice Thursday. He did exit the game in week 4 early. But he's gotten a touchdown in the past 3 weeks consecutively. Weeks 2 and 3 had over 100 yards.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
look at those numbers.
If you step back, though, you think David Johnson is pretty much equivalent to Zeke. Obviously, he's lower right now, but
moving forwards.
I think you could, moving forward.
Even then.
He's slightly lower, but I think Odell is much higher moving forward than Will Fuller.
Absolutely.
So, I would take the David Johnson-Odell side of that trade.
Absolutely.
All right, let's see. Another trade. I believe this one. Yeah, a trade question. Big names here. Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey and Rob Gronkowski.
Say that again?
Alvin Kamara's
in the area.
Christian McCaffrey and Gronk.
McCaffrey?
Hysteria about
Kamara. We've got Kamara and McCaffrey. Is that what you just said?
McCaffrey.
McCaffrey. You said McCaffrey.
I still look at his name and think
Kamara
it says McCaffrey.
And McCaffrey.
That makes more sense of a last name than McCaffrey.
Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, and Gronk. That's the start of the
It's Gronkowski, not Gronk.
Dude, I quit this podcast.
I don't know. I think that McCaffrey's pretty close to Kamara, so I would go with McCaffrey and Gronk in that one.
I mean, McCaffrey honestly might be an RB1 at this point.
Yeah.
Kamara's
a boss.
Yeah,
Kamara's Kamara.
Kamara's like an RB.5 if that's a thing.
Yeah.
Just keep going up. I mean, he's a tier above what most RB1s are at this point.
But I think Gronk is still healthy.
Take an RB1 and a tight end one.
Gronk keeps being listed as questionable, but I don't think that questionable means anything.
Ankle.
I think it's the Patriots version of questionable every week.
Yeah, Bill Belichick does that shit all the time.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, this player's questionable even though he's fully healthy. He just doesn't feel like he's practicing.
All right, here's one. Pick 2. Devontae Freeman, Philip Lindsay, Kerryon Johnson. Pick 2.
Freeman and is this regular people?
Is it starting this week?
Yeah, this week.
Okay.
So Devontae Freeman against Pittsburgh, Philip Lindsay against the Jets,
definitely
Kerryon
Freeman.
Johnson against Green Bay.
Definitely Freeman.
Mm-hmm. I agree on that.
And then I would say Lindsay.
I'd say Philip Lindsay against the Jets.
I think he has touchdown potential, and he's going to get the yards on the ground, and he can get a few at least in the air as well.
He can definitely like start shuffling.
I mean, he's not punching people. He's great.
Every day he's shuffling.
I see what you did there. That was good. I like that one.
Thanks.
I don't always like them, but I like that one. All right. Lower tier quarterback question here. Philip Rivers.
Lower tier quarterback question. Lovely. Let's go.
Philip Rivers or Blake Bortles?
I tell you what, if those are your quarterback options, you are in for a long year.
Hey, I almost picked up Bortles for this week.
Who are the Jags playing?
This is probably
KC.
Somebody who's trying to.
They're playing KC.
Yeah, a bye filler or something.
KC's defense is not bad.
No, KC's awful.
Bad.
They've given up like the most points
they're
in the league.
Bad.
Have they really?
Yeah, they've been pretty bad.
I thought KC's secondary was decent.
No.
They got rid of Marcus Peters.
No, not much.
My bad.
And, Eric Berry's hurt. No Marcus Peters. I mean, that's.
I'd go Bortles there.
Well, who are the Chargers?
Bortles or Rivers?
Who are the Chargers playing?
Chargers are playing the Raiders. So another good matchup, but
division game.
Chargers are home. Chiefs are
not.
Home.
Yeah, they are. The Chargers aren't home.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. It's going to be
based
black
off of,
in that stadium.
The equivalent of like
based
an
off of Matt Logic, yeah. Okay.
It's not Matt Logic. Look at those games. I'll tell you what. If it looks like a Chargers home game on Sunday, I will pay you $50.
All right. I'm not going to take
that's
bet.
You're not going to take the bet because you know
that's
I'm right.
That's subjective.
$50 is like a lot of money.
I mean, he just said he's going to pay it to you. There's no return there.
All right. Well, never mind. I will bet you. Whatever. You didn't shake on it.
Alshon's Blake Bortles or Philip Rivers? Who do you got?
Blake.
All right, we all got Blake.
Well, I mean, Blake's the kind of guy who maybe he'll get you 40, but he might get you 5 with 3 interceptions.
Mm. I think
he's the boat.
He's closer to 30 points this week.
All right, let's wrap this
up. Yeah, let's mercy kill us.
Mercy kill us.
This segment goes out of control sometimes.
All right,
what
well,
do we? What
I think we're getting close to the end of the show now.
Fantastic. Well, not fantastic. I'm sad. It's
10:37. Oh my God. Not only is the Thursday night game over, but the Flyers game
over.
Thursday night is absolutely
not
over.
Well, it's getting close, but the Flyers game started.
Shit.
I need to go. I need to go watch some Flyers hockey.
Speaking of the Thursday night game.
Gritty, Franklin, and
all
Swoop.
Of the above.
Fuck, Mary, kill.
No, just Gritty.
I love how you left the Fanatic out of it.
Yep.
Well, you should have went obscure and thrown like hip hop in there.
Well, I love hip hop, so I guess
yeah,
I'll marry hip hop.
Hip hop. I grew up with hip hop.
I miss hip hop. Franklin's kind of garbage.
Yeah.
Except for when he jumps off the trampoline and tries to dunk. That's like the only cool thing he does. But hip hop also did that. So
hip hop was the OG.
But did he dab in midair? I'm
yeah,
sure.
Dabbing
has.
Wasn't a thing back then. Otherwise, hip hop definitely would have been the first to do it.
Yeah. You're not wrong about that one.
All right. I wish Franklin was like actually Ben Franklin. I would like Franklin a whole lot more.
Holy
instead of
shit,
a,
that would be fantastic.
If it was like actually just Ben
He's
Franklin.
My background. That Franklin logo, the secondary logo, is my background on my work
yeah,
computer.
Yeah, Ballin' Ben.
Yeah, it's my background.
Honestly, if the Franklin mascot was like a Ballin' Ben costume, I would like Franklin so much better.
I would buy a replica Ben Franklin costume. I would make my own. I
would
learn how to sew.
Would you bring a kite in with the key?
Yes, and I would electrocute myself in the name of Ben Franklin every single day.
I love it. All right, so while we're wrapping it up here, quick update on the game as if you're not going to know the score later. New England's up 24-10 with 3 minutes and 12 seconds left in the third quarter.
James White is having a phenomenal game.
I don't like it. I am playing against him.
Me too.
And Tom Brady.
And
no, I'm playing against
Sean
James
Hockley likes flags just like his dad.
Well,
just saying. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Jason will be back next podcast. We'll recap week 5, look ahead to week 6. For now, Birds got Minnesota this week. So, Vikings fans, I guess we're not seeing you in South Philly this year.
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
In Minnesota, we teach respect.
Is that what they said?
Yeah, that's what the lady said.
I heard something like, oh, we'll treat you the same way.
She said something about Minnesota and respect. That's all I heard.
Go Birds!
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, I hate the Eagles, but I love that more
time,
than anything else.
At that point, it was just time for that woman to go.
I have never seen somebody attempt to really get through to someone and just fail so bad.
Go
You
Birds.
Can tell, it doesn't matter what she said, this dude was not hearing any of it.
I absolutely love it, and it went so viral so quickly.
What was better, him or the guy running into the pole and actually
hitting
the train?
Subway guy.
Subway guy?
Well, I mean, you look at all the things that happened that night. So you got Subway guy, you got Go Birds guy.
You got Dune Buggy up the
steps. Dune Buggy up the steps, that was my next thing. You got Grease the Poles.
So what's your guys' predictions for the game?
High scoring, actually. Both defenses are very weak in the secondary right now.
Both teams over 30?
Not both teams over 30. I will say 31-24 Birds.
I feel like every time we think it's a high scoring game, like, oh, rough secondary, high powered offenses, it turns out to be like a 12-9 game or something. But I'm not gonna, that's not my pick. I'm gonna go with 17-10 Birds.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Say Adam Thielen 100 yards, Stephon Diggs 100 yards.
Wrong.
Kyle Rudolph, 100 yards.
Oh, okay.
300-yard pass.
300-yard receiver.
That's your hot take.
Vikings, 42. Eagles, 25.
25?
Yeah, I'm going 25. 25? Yeah, they're going to be going for twos randomly at the end.
They're going to get 12 safeties and then one-point safety. What do you think?
25?
You'll see.
If you say so.
How about that 15-10 game with the Falcons division round game?
I had to fill in my hot take for the week. You know, well, Jason's gone. I didn't take a shot of Fireball, but I had to give a hot take.
Well,
somebody had to.
Way too hot.
Spicy.
But anyway, I think we're wrapping it up for the night. Get ready to go finish watching this Thursday night game. Good luck to everybody who's got any Patriots player, or if you decided that you're bold enough to start a Colts player, good luck to you.
Really?
I mean, Jason started a Colts player, I think.
Well, of course, Jason.
That's why his running back situation's a little thin.
I think the Colts are Jason's favorite team. But
might be. And Ham started Luck.
He's not getting lucky.
Yeah, well, James White's getting pretty lucky, so I
didn't
think
like
it
that
out.
One as much.
All right, we're out of here. We'll see you next week, Kevin. Hopefully, you'll be back on the podcast real soon.
Yeah, we'd love to have you
back
tonight. Thank you for coming.
Like Nick said earlier, follow us on Twitter at @PPR_official. You can follow us, all of us individually there too. Our handles are all in
the
bio.
We're on Facebook now as well.
We are on Facebook.
Yeah, check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Pornhub. We're everywhere.
Pornhub.
Definitely PPR. Facebook though. Definitely Facebook. Fantasy Process Report on Facebook. And we'll see you next week. Go Birds.
Go Birds.